The following presentation is a production of Capella University and is not intended for commercial use.
All right, greetings and welcome to what I think is episode 7 of the Education Matters podcast from cold, snowy Minneapolis. Still cold and snowy Minneapolis. We got a couple more months to go before it stops being cold, snowy Minneapolis. We've got a really cool conversation today with Dr. Cheryl Bond. She's the program chair for Capella's MBA program in our School of Business. And she is one of the primary leaders of our FlexPath program. And we've been talking a lot on the podcast about FlexPath and kind of the innovative nature of this of it as a self-paced program. We've gotten a lot of attention for it. And a lot of that is because of the good work that Cheryl and her team and the faculty that she leads have done. And it's a cool conversation to hear her talk about FlexPath, but also to hear Cheryl tell her story. She, like a lot of our Capella faculty, has a really diverse story and an interesting path as to how she got where she is. And as an adult learner herself, I think, you know, if you're an adult learner out there, either at Capella or thinking about going back to school or at a point in your career where you're trying to figure out what's next for you, I think Cheryl's story is a cool one and has some neat lessons in it. So I hope you guys enjoy listening to the conversation with Cheryl as much as I enjoyed having it with her. Thanks. All right. I'm very excited this afternoon to be joined by Dr. Cheryl Bond. Cheryl, thank you for making the time to visit.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Nice to be here.
So we like to start off all of these conversations by getting a little sense of who we're talking to. And I think the most important thing for people to know about you is what you and I just discovered talking before we started recording, and that's that you grew up a few blocks from where I live right now.
Yeah, small world, huh?
On the tree-lined streets of Edina, Minnesota.
That's right. Yep.
How talk a little bit about your journey. So you grew up in Edina. Where'd you go to school, and how did you choose what you wanted to study when you went to school?
Okay, I'd be happy to share that. I wish I had a clear plan, but I actually started off in pre-med, ended up getting a degree in physiology, and had to go and intern as part of that exercise to decide, you know, where I wanted to go next, and I didn't like the work.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up getting a business degree. Excuse me, I had a physiology degree. I ended up then getting a bachelor's in business, and this was at the University of Minnesota, and went to work in corporate America following that, and that was a great experience. I worked at General Mills. I also had the opportunity, and actually in General Mills, it was pretty interesting because I worked in the market research area, and also that was primary and secondary research, and then was able to transition into brand management and marketing, which was really exciting, and moved from there to a company. It was an investment firm called Dane Bosworth, where I was hired on as one of the VPs of marketing, so we did a lot of competitive intelligence work and public relations and marketing campaigns and all of that, so that was pretty exciting. And from there, transitioned to the state of Minnesota, where I was one of the directors of the International Trade Office for the state of Minnesota, which has at its charter helping to facilitate exports from the state of Minnesota. So really interesting work.
Go
ahead.
No, that's really interesting. I mean, so first observation is that your story tracks with, I think, everyone we've talked to so far about not starting out with a clear path for your career.
Yeah.
That's a common theme. And then the diversity of your experiences, I think, is common among Capella faculty. I want to focus in on one, though. How do you go? I think it's an interesting transition to go from Dane Bosworth to the Minnesota Trade Office. How did that happen?
Yeah, right. You know, I was looking for another opportunity. I enjoyed being in financial services, but I knew I didn't want to spend my life there. And just was fortunate enough to get an opportunity to go over to the Trade Office, and it was really, really interesting work, high level, working in that realm with the political machine, if you will, working with a lot of politicians, working with a lot of Minnesota businesses, and a lot of interaction with different folks overseas. So that was really, it was really a really interesting and fun job.
Where did you go from there?
From there, I decided that I wanted to go do something else, And I must have a short attention span. I don't know. But anyway, from there, I actually had small children at that point. And back in those days, and this is giving a little bit of history and showing my age, but there was not concepts like flex time.
Yep.
And all of that. That was not there. And I was not real happy about the situation and the options available, because basically if you were working full-time, you know, your children came home to an empty house or something else. And so my husband and I made a decision to stay by our values, and I walked away from the trade office job and hung my shingle out as an independent consultant.
So let's talk about that for a second, because I think I think your story is probably not that different from a lot of Capella learners. And you were a Capella learner, and I want to talk about that in a second.
But
sure. Looking back over your experience and that choice to be in the middle of a very successful career that wasn't working with what you valued most in life and what was most important to you, you make a big decision like that to step out of the workforce, at least in a permanent job, into a consultancy. Looking back on that decision, one, was it the right decision for you? And two, what advice would you have for somebody who finds themselves in a similar situation today?
Okay. For me, absolutely, it was the right decision. And again, it was very values-based. You know, my husband and I sat down and we really talked about what kind of a family do we want to have? How do we want to raise our children? What's important to us? And then we crafted our work based on that set of principles. So in that regard, it was the right thing. It was a really tough decision. It wasn't a tough decision to make, but, you know, getting out on your own, you're hustling, you're doing different things, you're trying different things. And that was challenging, but also a lot of fun. So, you know, I don't regret it for a second.
How did you make the decision to become a PhD learner at Capella?
Well, you know, along the way, I'd gotten my MBA from St. Thomas in Minneapolis, and that was great. And then I just, you know, I'd been teaching in actually a lot of different places while I had my consulting practice. And I'd also done a lot of international work, and I found that I liked to teach people and work with people. And I wanted to sort of bring it to a higher level. And actually, the PhD conversation is kind of interesting, because what got me into online teaching and learning initially was I was looking for a flexible program to do advanced studies. And this is probably 30 years ago, 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. But I happened to find something called UNISA, which was a university in South Africa that had, at that point, a flexible kind of online program, and I was really intrigued by it. I just couldn't get it to work with having to pay in rand and having to, you know, I mean, there was just so many barriers at the time. It wasn't like it is right now, and that's making me sound like a dinosaur, but it wasn't. And so it was a little bit difficult. But anyway, but that got me into thinking about it, got me into teaching, and, you know, the more I learned, the more I wanted to learn. And I just decided at one point, yep, I think I'm going to go for the PhD. And I was in my late 40s when I started.
That's tremendous.
And so everybody, of course, just looked at me and wondered, you know, are you crazy? and I said, yeah, I guess so. You know?
and that makes you different from I think what people's perception of what PhD students and PhD candidates are, but it doesn't set you outside of the mainstream of what it is at Capella. And
yeah, right.
What advice would you have for someone who's in the spot where you found yourself thinking about pursuing a PhD? What questions should they ask themselves about whether it's a program is the right fit for them at the right time for them?
Well, you know, if I had to be quite honest, I think I'd suggest that they set aside discussions about career or anything like that and really think about what they want to do and who they want to be. Because for me, that just settled it out. It was like, I really want to learn this. I want to go in-depth and understand, in my case, it was leadership. I really want to get into this and then see where it takes me. But I think a lot of times we're so career-oriented, we say, well, where is this going to take me? And we think we're going to plan it all out, and then we're going to fit the pegs in the holes. And I don't think that always works, because the world changes.
Yep. Talk about your journey into Capella.
Oh, okay. Happy to. My journey into Capella, I had been actually teaching at a lot of places, I'll admit, while I had a consulting practice, you know, because when you do that kind of work, you do a lot of different things. And I had been consulting. I had been doing a lot of USAID projects overseas. I had been teaching. And I just was researching, and I learned about Capella, like a lot of people do. I think it was just on the web, and I heard about it through somebody, and I started investigating, and I really liked what it was all about. And I've been here for 10 years full-time and probably 13, if you add them all up.
Yep.
So it was quite entrepreneurial, you know, back then. It was a smaller, you know, really creative, not that it isn't now, but,
yep.
you know, as organizations mature, they change.
Yep.
But anyway, it was just a really exciting place to be, and I got hired as an adjunct, and when I got hired, I made the vow that I was going to be one of those professors that always did a great job, and the people supervising me never had to worry about me.
Well,
and you know, and that's kind of, you know, that's really probably a good thing to put in the front of the train, because, you know, it really was great. I got to facilitate lots of different courses. I got to create courses. And eventually there was an opening for a full-time core faculty, and I applied for that. And I know there was a lot of people that applied for it. And, you know, by the grace of God, I got the nod for the job. And I was really, really happy.
Well, based on your reputation around Capella, I think you've succeeded at meeting your goal.
Well, I hope so.
So let's talk a little bit. So we've used this podcast to talk to our huge listenership. About, I don't think sarcasm really plays on podcasts very well. I need to work on that. But we've used this podcast a lot to talk about FlexPath, which is
yeah.
the self-paced, kind of innovative, competency-based direct assessment program that we are partnering with. We're working with the Department of Education and Higher Learning Commission on. There are not a lot of programs in the country like it.
Mm-hmm.
And as the program chair for Capella's MBA program, you had oversight of a lot of the development of our first FlexPath program with the help of a huge team. Or I don't know if it was a huge team, but a lot of people put into this. But you were at kind of the tip of the spear. Talk about the development of FlexPath and what the challenges were and why you think it's exciting.
Okay, in 25 words or less?
Yeah, yeah. That's all.
Well, you know, it was a really talented team that came together. I was able to work on this in partnership with another chair, Brian Barton, who works in the undergrad area. And it was a cool partnership because we were in there talking and representing and working through sort of the things on the academic side, of course, with lots and lots of other support. And we worked in partnership with the folks that were on the operational side in terms of, like, how does this really happen, you know, and even looking at accreditation, all that stuff.
Yep.
And what we really had to do was to look at the model and say, okay, what are our goals for this? And, you know, how do we craft something that will help learners, and I say this in my MBA all the time, but it'll help learners to be their best.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do we put something out there that helps them to be their best and meets their needs of either more flexibility than we already offer in our online programs, or potentially more efficiency when it comes to, you know, time to degree or whatever it might be. And I look at a third component in terms of, and even more flexibility, because, you know, if you're demonstrating competencies, you know, you have to meet those competencies, but you might be able to bring in a lot of additional insight and support and different things in order to demonstrate that competency. And so that was a lot of what we looked at, and of course we worked with, you know, course developers and curriculum and everybody else to say, okay, how do we do this and what does it mean to create this? And I think that it was really important as well that we wanted to keep this as something that, you know, was representative of our work in what we now call the credit-bearing side. So it's
yep.
like we didn't want to go off and create a whole different animal.
Yep.
We wanted to say, gosh, we've got this great stuff. You know, how do we help to transition some of this to a model that might work for, you know, a defined group of learners? And that was, the FlexPath learners that really has some different criteria maybe than some of our regular learners.
We've had conversations with a couple of FlexPath learners, Tabitha Jameson and John Scafidi, and
mm-hmm.
they were really great conversations in hearing them talk about, A, how challenging it is, but also the support that they got and the way that the program did help them be at their best was really satisfying and exciting to talk about. Can you talk about for either learners who've just entered the FlexPath program, either at the MBA level or the bachelor's or IT or psych, or people who are thinking about it, what advice do you have for them in order for them to be successful, and for whom is this program best suited?
Okay. I'll do my best on that one. And I think, you know, this FlexPath is a great program, and I look at it as something for somebody who really is interested in understanding their competencies and being able to, you know, kind of show and tell that. You know, how do we demonstrate those? And so I think that, you know, it's not an easy program, as you point out. I don't want anybody to think it is an easy program. It has lots of rigor built into it. But the nice thing about it is, again, you know, a learner can go at their own pace. They can decide to do sort of an order of things as they would like to. So there's a lot more flexibility. And I think it's really well suited to learners who are, I hate to say it, but sort of pretty disciplined in terms of looking at what they want to accomplish and how they're going to get there and having a little roadmap, you know, to get there. So, you know, we have support, and that was your other question. How do we support our learners? Because we have coaches that support them and kind of help keep things on track and identify if there's any challenges coming up. And we also have tutors that can help with subject matter. So there's a lot of nice support. But in a sense, it's almost like going through sort of a doctoral dissertation process in a way, because it's like, you know, here you are, and you know where the finish line is, and you have a lot of stuff to do to get there.
Go ahead.
You know, and it's not like somebody is going to, like, not in a regular course room where you have defined stuff, you know, defined work to do every week. You know, FlexPath, you kind of decide how you want to approach this.
There's a lot of structure in a regular course, and because of the flexible, self-paced nature of FlexPath, there's less structure. And that was one of the themes that came out of the conversations that we had with Tabitha and John, is that FlexPath learners have to bring a lot of motivation, self-starter, determination to the program in order to be successful. But that if you do bring those things, this is a really rational, great fit for you.
And I agree 100% that, you know, you've got to have your own motivation. You've got to be able to understand, you know, set your own goals and make sure that you can get there, you know, and put some plans in place to help you get there. Because I think if you're kind of a procrastinator, this, unless you decide to change, this might be a bit of a challenge.
Yes. I think one of the things that I get asked a lot when we're talking to policymakers or media is what do the faculty think about this model? And our model is different from some others that are out there in that the faculty role is different in the FlexPath model, but faculty is still at the center of the model from the beginning, developing the assessments, developing the programs, to the middle, doing the assessments, to providing the rigorous feedback on the assessments. Talk about how faculty have found the FlexPath model and how they're reacting to it.
Okay, that's a great question, and I want to echo that, you know, that faculty-centeredness is important to acknowledge in this model. Because a lot of folks could look at this model and they could say, well, you know, you're just kind of going through and whatever. But there was a conscious effort, and this gets back to our dialogue of a few minutes ago. There was a conscious effort and a conscious decision to make this something that faculty have a key role in.
Yep.
Okay, so that's really important, because there's, you know, obviously now there's many, you know, other programs coming on the marketplace that are trying to look similar. And in some instances, they might rely on testing, standardized testing, TAs, you know, different kinds of ways that learners get feedback. And, you know, our university made a conscious effort to put the faculty right in the middle of that and have that robust faculty coming from feedback, or robust feedback coming from faculty. About that. So I think that's important. I think, you know, faculty find, at first, they were a little intrigued, you know, by the model, because I don't know if a lot of them, you know, really understood when we were getting into this first what this really meant for faculty. And as I've seen this grow, I see that faculty are really excited about it. They're very open to it, and they're among our biggest cheerleaders.
Yep.
And one of the things I think that's been really important is faculty need to understand, and they do understand for the most part, that you can be a faculty member and you can help people be their best in a whole bunch of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my faculty that are in FlexPath really love it because they can put their emphasis and their focus on providing that feedback to learners instead of chasing them around to see if they were in the classroom.
Yep.
Or,
yep.
You know, or doing things like that. So it's like, you know, you're able to use your resources in a really meaningful way and, you know, focus it that way. Not that chasing after people is not meaningful, but it's different,
yep.
You know, if you're in a traditional course room. So, you know, I think faculty are enthusiastic and, you know, they're always coming to me with suggestions about, well, you know, what if we did this? What if we did that? And also they were instrumental in doing what I've kind of termed a conversion of looking at our regular courses and making adjustments and looking at how we orient, create, build, structure that information in a FlexPath model. I mean, faculty are right in the middle of that. And,
yeah.
You know, they're able to help us, guide us, and really help build these courses so that they are, you know, workable, they're doable, they make a lot of sense, and they live up to, you know, what we say FlexPath is. So that's really cool.
From a policy perspective, I think that's going to be the way, and as these models develop, I think it's going to be one of the most important pieces and one of the most differentiating factors for Capella is the way that we've managed to create this innovative model yet still maintain the centrality of faculty and the role
mm-hmm.
of faculty. It's a different
mm-hmm.
role, but it's not a less important one. In some ways, it's even more important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And you know, in faculty at first, I think some of them didn't quite understand that. But once they saw that, you know, you could just hear their enthusiasm. It was really, really cool to see that.
That's awesome. Well, so you've been generous with your time. I just want to go over a couple more things real quickly.
You bet.
I skipped one thing in your bio that I think is really interesting. When you were consulting, you said you were consulting for USAID, but you consulted all over the world on a number of different projects. What did you learn from that experience, and is there one place where you were consulting that was kind of different from all the rest and really stuck with you?
That was a wonderful experience. I was able to work on over 50 projects overseas in about 15 different countries. And a lot of these were boots on the ground, working one-on-one with business owners, with processors, with systems, with producers, with associations, things like that, and helping to build capacity and infrastructure. You know, the world kind of calls this development work, but it's really like entrepreneurship
yep.
at its finest is really what it is. And I learned a lot there because I learned to really work with a lot of different people in a lot of different cultures and really try and understand, you know, what they need and not what we can teach them, but how can I help empower them.
Yeah.
So that they can be their best. And that was really cool. And I worked in some very interesting places. I did a whole market support study in Azerbaijan. And I was in Russia. Huh. I was in Poland. I was in Albania. I was in Bosnia. You know, so a lot of very different things. And, you know, one of the things I think I took away from all of that was that I think, you know, the vast majority of people, maybe this isn't an overstatement, but I think the vast majority of people are good people. They want a better world, and they want to do what they can to, you know, make their world good and make it better for the people that follow them.
Yep.
And I don't care what culture you're in. I've seen that over and over again. And, you know, in some cases it was really interesting working with people because, like when you're in Albania, if people nod their head yes,
uh-huh.
it means no. If they shake their head no, it means yes. And, you know, try that on for size.
Yeah.
And it really makes you aware of cultural differences and, you know, not only what you are saying, but how your body language and your movement and everything else communicates to others. That was really fascinating.
That's awesome. So I have one last question for you. What is for you, when you have a great day at Capella, what made it a great day?
I think what makes it a great day at Capella is when I see people achieving things. And, you know, I hate to go back to this sort of fulfilling their dreams, but fulfilling their dreams and making their world better. And that's our learners and also our faculty.
Yep. That's wonderful. Cheryl, thank you for taking the time to visit, and I just really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much. This is a lot of fun.
Cool. Take care.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
This presentation has been brought to you by Capella University and may not be redistributed or used for any commercial purpose without the expressed written consent of Capella University.